Would you join me in taking a Bible and turning to Romans chapter 8? If you did not bring a Bible, let me encourage you to pick up one of the pew Bibles there. And you'll find Romans in the New Testament, the sixth book over Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. There you have it. Did you read about the Powerball winners this past week? This past week, three people somewhere in our nation became instant multi-millionaires, sharing a $564 million jackpot. Can you imagine? Instantly having all of your financial problems solved. Just instantly. Like that. All your financial pressures, all your worries about the present or the future, just taken care of. Assuming you don't blow it. But anyway, would that be good news? For some people, that would be the greatest news in the world. Perhaps for you, it's not finances that are your biggest concern. Maybe it's health. Some of us aren't as young as we used to be. Maybe that's you. Maybe that's someone else. And one of the things that comes with age, there are some good things that come with age. Believe it or not, there are some good things that come with age. But then there are some things that aren't, that don't feel so good. And that's declining health. You know, you pick up some aches and pains and things don't work the way they used to. And you're more prone, more susceptible to chronic illnesses, even debilitating illnesses. What if for you, in a moment of time, you could just have all of those aches and all those pains wiped away? Whatever that chronic illness is, you could just have perfect health immediately. Would that not be the greatest news in the world to you? Perhaps. Or what about relationships? Maybe your relationship with your spouse or spouse-to-be, significant other, isn't what you would like to be. Or maybe there is no significant other and that's the problem. Maybe, you know, you have this heart to love another person, a desire for the Lord to bring into your life the perfect person. And that's been yet unfulfilled. All of your longings, all your desires are just that, longings and desires. But what if the Lord suddenly brought in the right person to your life? Let me just say, I'm talking to those who are single. All right? If you're married, he or she is the right person. You just need to make it work. But you're not married. And the Lord brings just the perfect person for you. Man, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be the best news in the world? Maybe. This morning, I want to give you the best news in the world. It has nothing to do with your finances or your health or your earthly relationships. All those, as important as they are temporal. Right? They are matters of this life and this life only. Really. But there's something else. The news that I have to give you today is eternal. It's good for time, and it's good for when there is no time. It's good for eternity as well. And it's found in our passage this morning. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. We will deal primarily with the truth in verse 1 and verse 3, but we'll touch on all of them. And here it is. Here's the news. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that's the best news in the world. It is the best news that has ever been heard. It's the best news that has ever been given. The best news that ever could be given. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's read all of this. Verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Would you bow with me again in a brief prayer? Father, help us not only to see this great news, but to believe it, to receive it as the best news in the world, to build our lives, our hopes on this truth. Lord, I pray for any with us this morning for whom this is not really great news, for whom this really doesn't matter in their minds. Lord, I pray that you would show them why this is the best news. Lord, I pray that you would bring home to each of our hearts and minds and lives the truth of this statement and the consequences of it for us. Lord, help us to be both hearers and doers of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things from this passage, verses 1 through 4. The first is that Paul says there is no condemnation. We've already touched on that. No condemnation for our sin. The second thing is, and we're going to look at that briefly, is that there is no bondage. Not only is there no condemnation for sin, there's no bondage in sin for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the third thing is, in addition to there being no condemnation for sin, no bondage to sin, there is no license to sin. And we'll, again, the last two points we won't get into quite as much because we're going to be working our way through this eighth chapter of Romans, and we'll get into those in more detail later. But let's look at this fact that there is no condemnation. If we're going to fully understand what Paul says in this first verse, we need to see three things. The first is the problem. The second is the provision. And the third, the participants in the provision. First of all, notice the problem. Condemnation. Now, Paul says there is therefore now no condemnation. You know, for many people, the idea that there's no condemnation isn't necessarily good news. In fact, it's not news at all because they have no idea that they have done anything to be under condemnation for. And you may be aware, perhaps you're one of those people, that there are people who just kind of go through life and they know they're not perfect. But condemned? No way. They're good people. They live good lives. You know, they're not. What do you mean condemned? What do you mean condemnation? Oh, what about this hell and brimstone? Hellfire and brimstone stuff? Don't give me any of that. I'm a good person. There's no condemnation for me. That's not good news that there's no condemnation now. Well, the Bible says otherwise. The Bible teaches that we are born into this world condemned. And that we increase that condemnation because of our choices in life. You know, many people, when they hear that no condemnation, it's kind of like if the doctor walked in and said, "I have good news. Your cancer's gone." And they say, "Cancer? What cancer? I never had cancer." See, that wouldn't be good news to them. Because they weren't aware of any disease or anything, any problem. Before the good news can be good news, people need to understand the bad news. And there is plenty of bad news. I'm not talking about, you know, what we hear on the news. I'm talking about what the Bible says about our condition, natural condition before God. The Apostle Paul, in the first 2.5 chapters of this same book, the same letter, the book of Romans, lays out the case against all mankind. How that we have a problem, whether we're aware of it or not. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18, he writes this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And then he goes on after that to give examples of how people do that, how the Gentile world in particular, he's talking about primarily non-Jews, those who didn't know God, how God has revealed himself in creation, but people didn't recognize God or acknowledge him as God. They rejected this knowledge of God, and what did they do instead? They worshiped the creature rather than the creator. You think people do that today? I mean, sun worship, moon worship, yeah, that's kind of, but you know what the number one worship is today, no matter what religion people are? It's self-worship. It's self-worship. And we do, we worship the creature rather than the creator. Or we worship what God has given to us, the gifts of God, the creation of God. And Paul says that is rejection of God. It's a rejection of what, how God intended things, and it leads to all kinds of problems. Paul enumerates these problems. He talks about moral impurity of all kinds. He talks about rebellion. He talks about those who engaged in envy and murder and strife, deceit, maliciousness, covetousness, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Whoops. Where did that come from? Can you put disobedient to parents in with all these other things? God does. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. And here's the kicker, as it were. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Paul says, just look around. See how people live. It's an evidence that they have done something that Paul says later in Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then there, Paul imagines there are some who say, I don't live like that. Yeah, that's bad. I agree. That is not a way, a good way to live. Those people are evil. They deserve condemnation. They deserve judgment. So in chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes this: to those who think that they're doing pretty good because they're not like that, therefore you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another, you condemn yourself, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. Now, Paul doesn't necessarily mean that when we see people practicing a certain sin that we believe is abhorrent, that we're also guilty of that very same act. What he means is that we recognize that there's a standard of behavior, a standard of righteousness, which we fall short of. Remember how Jesus explains it in the Sermon on the Mount? When he said, you heard that it was said, you shall not murder. Hey, I'm good. I ain't killed nobody. All right? But then he goes on, he says, but I say to you, anyone who is angry with his brother. Some translations add without cause, but it's not in all the translations. Anyone's angry with his brother is guilty. And if you say bad things about other people, in the vernacular, idiot, jerk, you know, whatever, you're guilty as well. It doesn't matter whether you put a gun to somebody's head and took their life. And, oh yeah, those of you who think you're so moral, you know, the Bible says you shall not commit adultery. Oh, I haven't slept with anyone else's spouse. What about those of you who have impure thoughts? That's what he's saying. And that's what Paul is saying. You judge others, but hey, don't forget, you're guilty. You've done the same thing. Just because you haven't committed the actual act doesn't mean you're not a sinner. You are condemning yourself because you recognize that God condemns that, but not just the action. It's the attitude. It's the heart that matters as well. And then he says, there are some of you who are religious. The Jews, nobody got more religious than the Jews. Okay? I mean, religion was a part of, they were a theocracy, right? Their king was God, right? And so nobody got more religious than the Jews. And so he writes to people who are religious, say, hey, do you know how religious I am? Do you know how much I go to church? Do you know how much I tithe? Do you know how much I do for the Lord? So he writes to those and he says at the end of chapter 2, no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. He's saying, I don't care how religious you are. Because unless you have a heart change, unless you're born again, he doesn't say it in those terms, but that's what it's a matter of the heart. You can go to church all the time, which is not a bad thing, but that in and of itself is not what frees you from God's condemnation. In fact, if anything, it increases that condemnation, if it's just outward, if it's just the outward acts. Paul sums it up in chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. He writes this, as it is written, none is righteous. None. None. None is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Whoa, but I thought I did some pretty good things. See, the standard here is what Jesus says in Matthew 5:48. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. And so, who has measured up? No. Body. That's why, again, verse 23, for the way all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. See, that's the problem. And until we see that, until we understand, not just mouth the words or give mental assent to that, but until we recognize that's me, that's where I am. I'm not righteous. I am not good by God's standard. Then there's no hope of deliverance until we see that we are condemned before God. But Paul says no condemnation. How does he get there? Well, that leads us to the provision. That's the second thing that we see under no condemnation provision. He says there is now there was, but now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad Paul didn't stop with the problem? but goes on to God's provision for us. If he didn't, there would be no gospel, no good news. So he adds in verse 3 of chapter 8 this. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Okay. I'll give you some scripture references here, but we don't have time to look them all up. Here's what Paul says. Nobody could live a perfect life. Nobody could obey God. God gives us his standard, which is the law. All right? There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with us. That's why Paul says it's weakened by the flesh. That is our natural condition before God, our inability to keep God's law. And so since the law couldn't save us, God provided someone who could keep the law because he was perfect. His son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 1 verses 1 through 18 is about the incarnation of Christ and how that God sent his son. Of course, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But it goes on, verses 17 and 18 says that, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But the world was already under condemnation. And those who reject Christ remain under condemnation. So God became man in Christ. And as a man, he lived a perfect life. Hebrews 4. Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 then says that God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The sinless one did what we could not do. He fully obeyed God's law. See, he condemned sin in the flesh by taking the penalty for sin in himself on the cross for us. And then God raised him from the dead. So then, Paul writes this in Romans 3, 21 through 26. But now, if you want to be righteous, Paul says, here it is. If you want to be right before God, if you don't want to be condemned, here it is. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. That is, not by keeping the law, not by doing good works. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And are justified, that is, declared not guilty, by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, that is, a sacrifice of atonement, to atone, to make up for, to pay for your sins and my sins, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. We're going to come back to that in just a minute. See, that's the participants. That leads us to the participants in this no condemnation thing. But let me just say a word. Can you imagine? Let me speak to the kids here for a minute. Can you imagine somebody taking your punishment for you? You've done something to deserve to be punished, all right? And someone steps in and takes whatever that punishment is. See, when I was a kid growing up, it was almost always a spanking, okay? I mean, my mother would use anything she could find and just wear me out with it. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that was the right thing, all right? And I have a brother and two sisters, and sometimes we would all get it at the same time. You know, if we were fussing and fighting, she didn't know who was guilty, she'd just spank us all. You know? And I can remember brother first, then me because I'm second, and my sisters, you know. Do you know how many times I wish somebody would step in and take that beating for me? Nobody ever did. Nobody ever did. In a much bigger way, a much greater way, I deserved a much worse beating. I deserved much worse punishment because I disobeyed God. And guess what? Jesus stepped in and took the penalty, took the punishment for me. He's done that for all who will trust Him. And that's the third thing under no condemnation. The problem is we're condemned. We have earned punishment. The provision is Jesus. But the participants, not everybody is not condemned. It's who? Those who are in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Those who put their faith in Jesus as Savior and Lord. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How does what Jesus did on the cross become effective for you? How does it become effective for me? How can I know that there is no condemnation to me? How do I know that what Jesus did makes any difference for me? Here again is what Paul writes in Romans 3. Back to verse 26. It was to show His, that is God's righteousness, that God is just, that God is righteous at the present time, so that He might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. How could God do that? By putting Christ on the cross in our place, and by asking us to trust in what Christ did. What then becomes of our boasting? Verse 27, it is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified. Now understand, justified means declared not guilty. That's what it means. It's a legal term. God is the judge. And He justifies, He declares sinners, guilty sinners, not guilty. Why? Because we have faith in Jesus. Not faith to take care of our finances. Not faith to give us perfect health. Not faith to give us that love of our life. No, faith to save us from our sins. Faith to deliver us from hell, which we have earned and which we deserve. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised, that is, Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcised through faith. Everybody gets to God the same way. Everybody stands not condemned who is not condemned the same way. There is not a different standard for Jews than there is for Gentiles. Not a different standard for Muslims. Not a different standard for Hindus. Not a different standard for atheists. Not a different standard for anybody. Same way. We're all guilty. We're all condemned. So how can Paul write, there is no condemnation? It's to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're in Christ Jesus if we have faith in Jesus as our Savior from sin. All right? From sin. Not from bad health. Not from the things of this life. Now, He does change those things often. But our Savior from sin. Well, I thought I was going to get to points 2 and 3, but not today. But really, if you get this, that's what you need. If you don't, then the other points aren't as important. What's the best news in the world? It's that you won the lottery? No. I hope you don't even play the lottery. Is it that you got a clean bill of health? We all want that. That's not the best news in the world. The best news in the world, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Does that describe you? Is that you? Do you know that? Have you confessed that you are a sinner in desperate need of a Savior? And that there's only one Savior. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. See, going on from no condemnation, there is no bondage. Because Christ not only delivers us from the penalty of sin, He also delivers us from the power of sin. And that's what that's about. And we'll see that later. Someday He's going to deliver us from the very presence of sin. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a wonderful hymn that communicates this truth so much better than I could possibly do. And Can It Be, hymn number 147. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, may we never tire of hearing, reading, thinking about, meditating on, and proclaiming this truth. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Father, may this be the foundational truth that frees us, not only from the penalty, but also the power of sin, that motivates us to live for Christ, that puts a spring in our steps, that causes praises to flow forth from our lips. Lord, may we live truly in the light of what Christ has done for us. Can it be that we should gain from the death of Christ? Oh yes, thank you, Lord. Receive again our praise. Magnify yourself in it. Bring glory to our Savior. And Lord, fill us that we may be faithful ambassadors. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing, if you don't know, if you can't say, yeah, I'm one of those who's not condemned because I'm trusting in Jesus, would you see me later? Would you make an appointment? Would you say, Pastor, I need to talk about this? Or maybe do that with Pastor Greg or someone that you know who's also a believer. Will you do that? Will you not just go out and let this truth not become yours? Would you do that?